And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I went to a job fair this weekend. Not out there looking for a new job, not just yet, but just one of those times, those chances to go out and see what's out there in the world for an individual with just a high school diploma. A little bit of time under my belt, at least as far as businesses go, but no qualifications, nothing fancy to put on my resume like management or spreadsheet jockey or something that does with data analysis or people cat hurdling. Herding cats. And a lot of blue-collar jobs out here, which doesn't surprise me. You go to job fairs out in Washington State, and there's a lot of white-collar jobs, data entry and programming and robotics and all that other fun stuff. But down here, there's a lot of ditch digging, a lot of construction jobs, things as far as bricklayers and carpentry and electricians and all sorts of stuff that goes into the building trades and whatnot. And one thing that actually kind of took me aback in Tennessee, this right-to-work state, was the number of unions that were actually represented down there. But in terms of the trades, I guess that's to be understood, be taken care of, and a good thing, because a lot of the jobs that get contracted out through the state go through these trades. And so they're actually negotiated well, and it keeps a fair number of people gainfully employed. Now, it's not easy Sunday morning work. It's actual work. It's physical labor. It's a job. But they pay you well. A lot of these union situations even pay into pensions. Some of them have 401k matches. And again, the top pay rate, you know, you got to put in your time. You got to put in a couple of years, but you start hitting the mid to high 20s on a lot of these jobs. And while you may not be raking in a regular six-figure income, at least down here, it's an affordable thing. Out in Washington, it seems like you need a six-figure income just to live in a one-bedroom apartment and make ends meet. It's disgusting. But one job that I just found to catch my eye, and it definitely helped that they had a video game there. I call it a video game. They call it a simulator. As far as a job that I never thought would come across my purview, my ability to get into it, was large machinery operations. I got to sit in on, again, the simulator of a giant excavator. It's like the way the controls work, for sitting in there for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, as long as it was, got the controls kind of down, kind of janky. Don't put me on a $250,000 machine just yet. I'm not that good. But with a little bit of practice, definitely get better. I can see how things become nice and smooth. Got to be gentle. You got to be forceful enough on your joystick movements and gentle enough in the transitions. And again, they make it look so easy, but it's not that hard. Hard part, as far as I was able to understand, was just dealing with the regular old riffraff that comes through on construction job sites. Construction jobs just kind of need warm bodies. They need the people that are going to come in and do the work. People that have chosen less than stellar life choices, and now they're kind of relegated to the less than stellar jobs, kind of such as it goes. Or sometimes that's the job you want. You like laying bricks. That sounds miserable to me, but if you're good at it and you know how to pace yourself and you do it well, you make some good money. 6 years, 6 months as a bricklayer, you're at $32.94 an hour. Journeyman rates, $36.60 an hour, with $7.73 thrown into your pension, healthcare, and apprenticeship programs. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it adds up and it's something. You make a good living as a bricklayer when you pay your bills. But I guess one of the other cool things that I realized with this, going back to the excavator simulator, because it was all advertised through a school. You spend $5,000. Don't tell anybody. They're going to start raising the prices, realizing how good of a deal it is. But $5,000 for a 6-week training camp to get you educated in dozers, excavators, and articulating trucks for job sites. And that doesn't mean you get to pass the class and go right into those quarter million dollar machines, but you're certified and you're ready to go. And there's less training that any company has to do. You've already taken that under your own wing. And once you get up into the trucks and you make sure that you know that you're not going to run anybody over and you know not to get too close to any holes and whatnot, you're not lifting heavy bricks anymore. Now you're not making $36 an hour. You're down to $29 an hour, but operating joysticks, demolition, digging, scraping, hauling, it's cool stuff. But in addition to the teacher that was there that was doing the majority of the promotion, he had brought one of his students with him to help promote and talk positively about the classwork, and had a good conversation with him. And before I actually get into a little bit more about him, one of the other co-hosts, so there was the teacher and then there was some lady that was there with him, asking him about the pricing, $5,000. And for people in certain situations, cleverly stated, with the student standing there, this lady said, with people with certain situations can actually get upwards of $1,600 off. $3,400 to learn how to drive an excavating machine. That's a screaming deal to start earning $29 an hour within a handful of years. You pay that off in no time. But this individual had that design going on. You know that design that says, I don't want this job, like this face or neck tattoo. This guy was tatted to the hilt. Definitely had seen his time in the streets. Full neck sleeve going on. Had some teardrop tattoos. Had a cross in the middle of his eyebrows. Definitely had seen some stuff. But this individual had been given a lease on life, a second chance, an ability to prove himself. He was in the process of getting ready to graduate. He had a handful more steps to go, passed all his safety classes, passed all his regular tests, had to do some extra last minute like field tests, but already had a job prospect lined up. And he was excited to be able to provide for his son, looking forward at the chance to be able to buy a house. Things that you could tell through this conversation that he never thought he had the chance to do. And it was something beautiful to behold, to see, and to talk to this guy that had this chance, had this ability to come forth. Someone who, again, grew up in the mean streets of Knoxville or wherever he decided to grow up or interact with everything. And not sure, I didn't bother asking him. It wasn't pertinent to the conversation of which Iron Bar Hotel he decided to stay at or was told to stay at. But he's out. He's free. He's getting his job, making money. And all it takes is a little bit of dedication, a little bit of hard work. And I sit here and I send out the best of vibes for him in hopes that he can keep his nose clean, keep his future bright and shiny and centered in his path that he's trying to walk down. Because of the, again, the less than savory characters that usually grace construction work sites, it's easy to get mixed back up into things that you shouldn't get back mixed back up in. But I think he's going to do well. And I guess in terms of second chances, new leases on life, had another conversation with another individual on Sunday, talking about his past life as a significant alcoholic, significant drug user. He's been 2 years clean now, I believe, and been an uphill battle for him, been a struggle, but he's starting to hit his stride as well. It's baby steps at first, getting yourself lined up, squared away, and as you start learning, going from these baby steps to a walking pace, shedding off your old life, shedding off the things that dragged you down, held you back, reinforced bad ideas, you start being able to move faster and faster. And 6 months ago, he had the intention, the want to keep moving forward, to have the chance, the ability to make enough in living, make enough in his career so he could start a family. He's made his bad choices before, and he doesn't want to make bad choices again. He wants to improve on himself, and he has. And the prospects are coming forward, and it's, again, a beautiful thing to see that he's been able to make this jump, this push, and starting to see the chances, the realization of what's on the other side, what's been available to him through all this hard work and perseverance. And whether or not he's able to go out and find a wife tomorrow, or if it takes another 6 months, another 2 years, you don't know. It's all in how time unfolds, how fate may will it. But this individual number two has a fantastic support group around him that will be there to support him in case he stumbles. I don't expect him to stumble. I don't see him falling for sure. But the people there to help guide him, keep him there, keep him motivated. And it's exciting. All these people out there that have a less than stellar lot on life. A lot of them we've relegated. We've tossed them to the side. We've given up on them. And some people want to be given up on. Some people don't want anything to do with the square world of paying bills and being responsible. I don't blame them. Adulting's hard. Adulting's difficult. But funny thing is, even in that less than stellar world, even in the black market world, you still got to do some level of adulting, whether or not you do all of it at once or even acknowledge that it's there. There's still bills to be paid. Still things to figure out. You don't have someone else figuring stuff out for you. But again, that requires, that on their end, it doesn't require them to show up to an office job or a job site on time. They wake up whenever they want, make money however, whenever they want, if they can, when they can, with whichever job perils that they might run into. But a little bit of punctuality, a little bit of responsibility goes a long way for achieving some dreams. And again, maybe these people haven't had the inkling, the realization that they can make it that far. Or maybe they've had that construction job. They've only known terrible, insert terrible word for boss here. Because again, construction site bosses, they're dealing with wonderful, wonderful members of society. You got to keep them all in line. They're always going to be extra hard. So why do that job? I say because it pays the bills. Certain levels, you got to suck it up. Other levels, you don't. Walk off the job. Give the job, the boss, the finger. He doesn't deserve it. Maybe. Don't quit your job just yet. Find another job. But we shouldn't write everybody off. Some people just need to be given just that little bit of guidance to show that there is a chance for them. Again, it takes that little bit of effort. Takes that little bit of motivation. That determination. That sense of responsibility to set yourself straight. And you can make it. Not everybody's meant to sit behind a desk. Not everybody's meant to sit behind an excavator. Not everybody's meant to lay bricks. Not everybody's meant to do, what is that, sell drugs, boost cars, any and all of the exciting things. We all have our little spot in society, and we all shouldn't, again, be written off, because we're all human. We're all figuring it out as we go. We're all dealt a hand that we're dealt. And when nobody tells us the rules, and they tell us the rules, and then other people change the rules, how are you supposed to keep track of it all? I don't know. I'm just a podcaster on the internet. Talking into the microphone, trying to get some ideas going, seeing if you need that other job. Excavating. $5,000 to start making $29. Wow. Don't tell my boss. I might have a backup job in plan. But I'm Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noauthority.social. If you don't have the SOSPEG, that's okay. Go to the website, billybones.com. Remember that it's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you'll find a link to past shows and show notes. No show notes today. There's a link for Tabletop Woodworks. I've got some outhouses that I have started production on. Those will be there another week or so. I've also got links for the SoundCloud, links for email, in case you want to send a full-on diatribe on why I should or should not get into the excavating business. And there's also a link there that says value for value. I release this podcast free of charge, no advertisers, no paywalls, nothing to stop you from consuming the content that I put out there in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, fantastic, thank you, I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, gets the gears turning, again, finds that reason to become a bricklayer or a sheet metal worker, an iron worker, all sorts of fancy things. But if you felt that this podcast was worth a monetary amount of value, be that the US dollar, I call them the Federal Reserve Freedom Units, or Satoshis, teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, I accept both. Again, you go to the website, click that value for value button. It'll take you to PayPal, you chip in, you donate, you find a number that is meaningful to you that you can support the show with, be that a cup of coffee or a brand new excavator, you donate that. Or if you're using one of those modern podcast apps, modernpodcastapps.com, and you're streaming Satoshis, like Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley did for a total of 730, or Dame Slamy, who boosted in 1,055 on the Aiming for Success podcast. Both of you, thank you very much for helping support this show. And to those of you who listened to the last one, what's going on with this? To the last episode, The Borders of Culture, I screwed up on writing out the chapters. I overwhelmed myself. I hand wrote all the chapters out and uploaded them, and then realized that the new podcast provider provides a much easier situation than typing them all out. So I'm not telling you to go back and listen to it, but if you go back and listen to it, I have updated, I have fixed the chapters, so that way, as you're streaming in your modern podcast app, the pictures do show up as they're supposed to on a 33-second interval. We'll see if I continue on the chapters. That was a lot more work than I intended, but it was definitely fun. Not going to be a regular thing, but the option is there for me in the future. I hope you enjoyed it, if you did get a chance to see it. And I hope you have enjoyed all these other podcasts, all these times we've gotten to sit, hang out, and chit-chat. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week. We'll be right back.